couldn't.
Hey, Brandon, I got a question for you.
What's up?
So when you think of horror magazines, what do you think of?
Fangoria, man. They're the best in the world. Best in horror cult film magazine since 1979. If you use the code PVDHorror when checking out, you can save 20% off your entire order.
That's right. And this applies to all first-time subscribers. Your first annual or monthly payment will receive the 20% discount, and it also applies to merch and individual issues for collectors.
Yeah, and a Fangoria subscription is a fantastic deal. For a one-time purchase, you will receive over 400 pages of horror across four collectible issues each year.
Yeah, and each issue contains 100 pages of photo-filled articles printed on a high-quality, coffee table-worthy stock. And Brandon, I know you have a damn coffee table, so you're using this.
I do, and it's full of Fangorias right now. Plus, print issues feature exclusive content unavailable online, from behind-the-scenes set visits, from rare interviews and images, to guarantee the horror fan will be more than satisfied.
On top of that, subscribers will enjoy early access to Fangoria merch and exclusive giveaways as part of the subscriber perks.
So what are you waiting for? Use the code PVDHorror for your 20% off and subscribe today.
Hello, boys and ghouls. It's your old pal, John Cashier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And guess what, kiddies? You are now tuned in to PVD Horror Podcast. Pleasant screams.
Hey, what's going on? You're now tuned in to the PVD Horror Podcast. I'm Brandon, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dave. Today, we have a special guest. We have Jax from Here for the Booze Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited we're able to do this.
No problem. So this is our monthly horror recap episode. Today, we're going to focus on all the cool shit, horror shit, that has happened in the month of September. But, you know, first, Jax, let's kind of get into like how we first met. We first met in a like random Instagram group chat. We had no idea who anyone was in the group, but it was cool because we found a lot of people that were like cool horror content creators and someone like yourself. Can you just talk about like that group a little bit?
No, yeah. It was awesome because we were like kind of local too. Like we were kind of near each other, whereas the guy who started it was in Ireland. We had people in Louisiana and Utah. Like we were spread out everywhere, which is really cool. But you know, once the pandemic was kind of coming out of it, we were all just like, all right, let's, you know, you guys were hosting movie events. And I was like, you know what, let's get out of my house and go meet these guys and at Buttonwoods. And that was great. I think the first one I went to was the Sleepaway. No, sorry. Massacre.
Slumber Party Massacre. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then I did the Friday the 13th part 5. And I feel like I've been to one more and I can't remember, but that was so fun. And I like trying new beer anyway, and you guys are just obviously awesome. And I just felt like, even listening to your podcast, my family's kind of from New Bedford and stuff, and it just kind of felt like listening to people I knew, and it just felt, you know, it just felt like we had already known each other. So it was, you know, I knew, I was like, we're going to be cool.
You know, it's funny when that chat started and we've heard you a local, and like I listened the podcast that you did, and I remember having a conversation with Brandon being like, I give her so much credit. It's hard enough. I mean, doing it with two people or three people, I was like, I honestly don't know how I would do talking alone, but you do it like flawlessly.
It's real.
I give you so much credit for that. Cause like,
I appreciate that.
We had to learn how to talk to each other doing this. And like, it seems like it was very natural for you.
I feel like, you know, when I talk about this in my, you know, spilling the tea on what got me into horror, you know, I worked at a video rental place for a pretty long time. It's dating myself, but, you know, I feel like working in customer service in general, I feel like you're kind of forced to be friendly. And I already have that kind of outgoing disposition. So I feel like I've always been kind of chatty and I can kind of carry a conversation without anybody saying anything. And I don't know. My parents are good storytellers, and I feel like I just, you know, really went into the podcast not listening to any other ones before I started. So I met you guys after I'd started. Yeah. So like, I didn't listen to any because I didn't want to think like, oh my God, this is amazing. Look at all the work, like with the music and like the fading of, you know, I had no idea what I was doing. So my very first episode has no intro music, but slowly but surely I was able to kind of get a grasp of what I would want to hear if I was listening to a podcast. And I kind of figured, yeah, I'd really like it if it was one person and they were kind of just, it was as if they were sitting next to me and we were having a conversation and I'm just kind of like, you know, kind of like when you're sitting at a panel and you're watching people talk, I kind of wanted it to feel like that and, you know, throw in my crazy stories of, you know, either about the movie or something that I've remembered from the time, you know, trying to keep it light. But at the same time, really trying to dive in and bring people over to movies that maybe they wouldn't have tried to watch before. I mean, yeah. I've gotten so many people that have said, oh my God, I would have never thought to watch that. But then I saw you did an episode and I listened to enough and was like, you know what, I should try, you know, so it's, and same for me, movies other podcasters have covered. And I'm like, wow, what about that? Like, you know, lots of Italian horror. And I feel like it's also a way to like open my mind to other horror movies. I don't know about you guys, but
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really great. But yeah, being by myself sometimes is like people ask me if I listen to the episodes. I was like, me for an hour or more. I'm like, but you know, so, like I've had a couple other guests on there and, you know, I've listened to those and I've, you know, tried to point people to those episodes if they really want to get like a good version of me. But yeah, I mean, it's, I write a lot and you know, it may not sound like it, but I really try to write based off of the way I want to say it and how I want to tell the story. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much work that is, you know, because when I have guests, I have questions I want to ask them, but I kind of just let the conversation go, you know? So just so that it doesn't feel super scripted or tight or, you know, I've really tried to make it my own. And I've also been listening to a non-horror podcast called Smartless, and it's Sean Hayes, Will Arnett, and Jason Bateman, and they interview other actors. So it's actually super interesting to hear other actors and directors, because Jason directs now, talk about that kind of stuff, because they talk shop way more than people in our kind of niche. So it's kind of interesting to hear the stories and how they ask questions so specifically. You know, like Greta Gerwig was just on an episode, you know, because Barbie's had already come out. So it was just interesting to hear her and her story. And, you know, she roomed with Katie McKinnon. Like, it's just, you know, it's crazy, you know, how small the world is, you know. And I've been able to meet some of the podcasters I've met online, or even just people who've created art and things like that through the conventions. So it's been a really great way to kind of have my own thing and then make new friends and meet people and have great experiences that I probably wouldn't have done if I did this podcast, you know? Right. And I've always loved horror, but this has just been such a great way for me to express myself, because my girlfriends from high school don't like horror. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to stretch my wings without, you know, making my friends like, what? You know, not that they would, but, you know, they knew I always liked horror, but this is just now it's kind of like, well, she's got her podcast. So, you know,
that's funny because we always talk about that, like how we really never had people to kind of like talk about horror with. Like I would watch it with my grandmother and stuff like that. And so other than that, like we said, we'd say it plenty of times, but like a lot of our friends also didn't like it. So,
But
it's, that's what it is, you know? So it's cool that you were just able to kind of make that outlet for yourself.
Yeah.
But you just talked about like the conventions and stuff like that. We ran into you at TerrorCon.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Like, can you tell us a little bit about your experience at TerrorCon?
So, yeah. So I always like to go Fridays, and I always tell people, if you're like me and you don't really love a big crowd, Fridays are great. And especially if, you know, you do like a VIP pass or something like that, depending on the convention, it's worth it. So like for this one, I was actually able to like skip to the front of the line for taking a photo op with Robert Englund. Okay. So like, yeah. So like Friday I got there, saw his line was long and was like, okay, maybe I'll just, you know, so I kind of went around and I saw Danielle, because Danielle Harris, because I'm friends with her. So I just pop by her table quick, and I always try to respect when she has a line. I don't like to take up a ton of time because I have access to her, so I don't, you know. Yeah. So then I like to scope the vendors too. So I try to like do like autographs depending on like how long the lines are. I'm trying to remember who I saw Friday night. I saw Ed Furlong, which was great. I saw Sean Patrick Flannery. I saw Danielle on Friday. I took a picture with her eventually. And there's one other person. I'll think of it in a second, but I did get to see and have Robert Englund sign my picture, the photo op with him. And it's cool because like he's so like he's kind of a turn and burn autograph. And that's why for this con, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they said like there weren't guaranteed like selfies or photo ops at tables. Yeah, which that was a first for me. I'd never heard like an announcement like that. And I actually like asked Danielle the Sunday before the con and was like, hey, what does that mean? Like, and she said, just Heather and Robert won't have selfies at the, or maybe she did, but she's like, it's really just because of Robert. So they just kind of prefaced that, you know. But anyway, I thought it was very organized. I felt like there was a great amount of different kinds of vendors. I got to see Dave, who runs the Burnzig account. He was there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was like, yeah, that's the same. Well, or did I see him at Silver Scream? Either way, I saw him in September. It's just great to also like see people online and see their work. And then they're at the convention. And even my tattoo artist, funny, he popped in late. I think Friday I saw him like walk in. I was like, Shane. So he's the owner of, he's the owner of Theater of Creeps.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He did my Michael tattoo on my leg.
Very cool.
Yeah. The best, and he's very efficient. Like that big tattoo on my leg, that was like 2.5 hours. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I know. And it's not even like the most detailed, you know what I mean? Oh, there's like kind of different levels, but yeah, this convention was great. I mean, the actors, there's so many great ones, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I met Alex. Nope, that was the other convention, just kidding, but I met somebody else. But yeah, I feel like it's always great. And I always go alone on Fridays because usually my husband's working and I just, you know, squeeze out of work. And I like going and I go alone and I like it because then I'm standing in line and then I can just chatter with you know, that's another thing is because I'm so chatty, I feel like I can always just kind of, I'll be fine. You know what I mean? And I don't worry about going by myself because I've gotten that question a lot. Like, you go alone? Like, what? I was like, first of all, it was like 20 minutes from my house, so super close. But yeah, I mean, it's Fridays are the best. I feel like I liked this convention spot. I liked that. I didn't love that the panels were, you know, at the, that was kind of, but it wasn't too far. So like walking was really not a big deal. But yeah, I mean, I just felt like it had enough space and they just had a lot of really great different people there and the vibe of everybody was definitely different than Silver Scream.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice. It was way more, definitely more people our age, not that we're like old or anything, but definitely more people, older, whereas Silver Scream was a little bit younger, which was kind of surprising. I was surprised, not like, you know, teens and stuff, but definitely like 20, like a lot of 20-year-olds and stuff. But I don't know if that's the draw of Ice Nine Kills.
And that's,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So that definitely is different with this one. Mm-hmm. This one was super heavy with like Nightmare on Elm Street individuals, which was cool.
Mark Patton was the other one I met. Sorry, that was the last one. Sorry, he's so great. So great. Yes. Right. Lots of Nightmare on Elm Street. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some great guests, like just some people that I hadn't seen at other conventions before. The Eddie Furlong. I got to say that was like my bucket list person and getting a photo with him was pretty awesome. But like, I didn't think I would ever have the opportunity to meet him at a convention. I know he had done some, but just not in our area. So that was pretty awesome. And yeah, the stuff with Robert Englund though was like crazy. Cause I just remember ages ago seeing him at Rock and Shock. And I mean, it was a long wait, but it felt like tolerable. And then I heard this one, some people said like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I mean, damn.
So I met a girl at Silver Scream the weekend before and she was like, I'm going to come on Friday because I want to meet Robert Englund. She's like, I'm just going to come on Friday. I was like, cool, we'll hang out. So she gets there. She literally gets in his line. And I think it was, he had a photo op at 4:30 and the con started at 3 on Friday. So she waited in line for about an hour. And then as they finished up to a certain point, one of the, you know, the handlers from the convention came over and started handing out numbers. Yeah. And her name is the girl that I met. Her name is Zan. And she's like, take a number. And at that point, I hadn't really figured out if I was going to do the photo op with Robert. But I was like, well, if anything, I have an extra number and I'll give it to somebody. No big deal. I had like 21 or something. So then I decide, you know what? F it. Robert Englund is getting older. I am just going to do the photo op. It's expensive, but who cares? He never comes here. That's always my thing. If he doesn't come here, I'm doing it. You know, that's kind of it. So I said, good thing I got the number, because now after the photo op, I can have him sign it.
Yeah.
So I did the photo op. And like I said, because I had the VIP pass, I got to cut. I felt like a jackass, but I had to pass. I didn't, you know, but the line was, that's how long
pardon
it was.
Pardon me,
was
coming so through.
Yeah. Like, I am nobody, but I did buy the ticket. So, so that was kind of cool. And as we're like, they had a mirror there, which I think this is the first time I've ever done a photo op and there was a mirror. I was like, yay. So I like fixed myself. And then as I'm walking closer to him, everything is like super confined and barriered off. You can't like take pictures. They're very, you know, you can't even like sneak a pic. So anyway, so as we're getting closer to him, we can hear him yelling out like hilarious one-liners as he's taking your picture with him. And he, like, as soon as I walked up to him, he was like, prom pose. I was like, oh God. So so I put my back to his chest and then he like put his, you know, claw around here. And then when he signed it, he was like, see you in your dreams, bitch. And he like asked me if he could be nasty. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, what do you mean nasty? Like, you know, perverted or like swear? Swear is cool, but like perverted. I'm like, huh. But no, he was cool, obviously. But he was just like yelling out. He's like grabbing people, like not people's crotches. Sorry. He was grabbing his crotch before the picture. Like, how about this? Like, just, you know, those silly liners that he would do. It was perfect. Like, I felt like that was worth the price just to see him be in that moment. You know, it was so cool. It was so cool. Like when I did the photo op with Skeet, it was just like turn and burn, smile, gone, smile, gone. It was just like, you know, so this one was kind of, you know, and I don't know if it's because we're VIP. Like, I don't know if he did it for everybody, but it was, it was also Friday, and that's why I tell people, I'm like, sometimes Friday, it's either way.
To go on that. Yeah.
Or they're more excited because it's the first night, whereas Saturday can be the, as you guys can see. Yeah. Like, I always love to ask Danielle, like, how does it feel? You know, what is it like when you're done? And, you know, she said, like, it's a lot sometimes, you know, obviously, like, certain cons are busier than others. And, you know, she said, like, that's why, like, sometimes I just don't even want to do anything when I'm done, like, the day. And, like, that's why sometimes you don't see her out or anything, you know. So, you know, I can't imagine, though, having to interact and give people that moment, you know what I mean, that they've been kind of waiting for. You know, that's not that that's a burden or anything, but
it's pressure.
It's a job, too, you know. And I feel like if you care enough, then, yeah, you are going to be a little tired at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah.
But it is really cool. And I met James DeBello. I met him on Saturday, and he is hilarious. So he's the guy, Bert, from Cabin Fever. The goofball. And I think he's from, I never saw Detroit Rock City or anything. But
yeah, he's good in that, too, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess Ed Furlong was in that, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that connection.
And then on Talk Scary to Me, Danielle brought Serena, because Serena Vincent was there, too.
Yeah.
And they were saying that Jimmy DeBello had, like, brought them food. Like extra food or something. He's just so nice. And I always forget, like, oh yeah, Cabin Fever. And that was, you know, like 20 years ago.
Cabin Fever was on the other day and I watched it and I was like, I forgot how hilarious that movie is. And his character is my favorite character in that film. He is the best. Him and the cop, obviously.
Oh, like, God.
Like,
yeah.
Oh man, you guys love to party. Like,
party dude.
He kind of doesn't look like Ed Furlong, man. That actor?
Yes, a little bit.
Bit, you know?
Yeah.
No, it was, I don't know. I feel like it's so cool to hear some of the stories you know, that the actors are willing to share. And, you know, that's probably one of the best things about being on Danielle's Patreon is like, we've watched Halloween 4 with her and like, she's told us about things and that she necessarily hasn't said in a commentary or anything like the new commentary that just came out for 4 and 5 and stuff. So, you know, it's really cool. You know, if you like that kind of background, you know, I feel like when I talk to some people about it, they're like, yeah, okay, nerd, like, holy, it's just a movie, you know, whereas, you know, this is our entertainment, you know, yeah, I feel like so much, I don't know about you guys, like somebody actually just showed that they had, I think it was called Halloween Treat and it was Disney. And it was a special that they had in the 80s, but I remember a rerun in the 90s and it was like this foam pumpkin. That's, you know, like a puppet, but it's like cutting all the scary scenes from Disney movies and things like that. But even like older stuff, like that's how I discovered, the Ichabod Crane Disney Bing Crosby thing was because of this. And somebody had bought the VHS tape and that just like opened a memory. Like the cobwebs came out and I just was like, what? And then I found it online and I watched it and was like, I am having the craziest flashback. Like, if you've ever watched a show when you were a child, like when I watch Pete, when I watch Pete and Pete again, I'm like, oh God, this is weird. Like, it just, you know, it just, it fills something that hasn't been filled in a while. And it's so cool. And I feel like with horror, you know, there's so much nostalgia just in holding a VHS tape and just seeing the cover of a physical media and things like that, you know, and you know, rewatching things and even noticing things you didn't notice, like when you were a kid or, you know what I mean? And I talk a lot about, you know, revisiting things you may not have loved when you first watch it, know, and really understanding that your mood and your, what's going on with you at that time, you know what I mean? Can really impact how you're feeling about what you're seeing. So like I rewatched Dead Silence for the first time in a long time. And I was like, wow, this is actually, wow. And I don't know if I was just like not paying attention, scrolling on my phone, watching it, but it always felt like two separate movies. And then when I watched it recently, I was like, oh God, I'm an idiot. Like, you know, it just,
what year did that come out?
2007, I think it was.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think we could scroll on our phones, but nah, maybe you could in 2007.
No, like, no, but I mean, like I watched it like it. More, like I watched it for the first time, like 2017. It was way after, because I don't think I knew about it, because I was also like kind of a snob when I watch horror, because, you know, back in the day when I worked at a rental place, if it was a sequel, it sucked. I'm not watching that. So I feel like as we've gotten older with all the reviews that have come out, and we've had the niches of people like us that like to talk about movies and get people to rewatch them, kind of like Halloween 3. Everybody's on that train now. You know what I mean? Which I love. Crazy. Yeah. I think it's great. And I, you know, and that's why when people, you know, hate on movies right when they come out, I'm like, oh shit.
Just wait.
I was going to say, like, I didn't love Goodfellas when I was a freaking high schooler. That was not my life, you know? And now I'm like, oh gosh, I want to watch it like every day, you know, because I appreciate the movie. You know, I didn't necessarily like love the violence, like because it felt a little more real than a horror movie. But, you know, I just think that sometimes we just have to take what it is. And if you don't like it, okay. You know what I mean? Figure out what you don't like, maybe navigate around. You know, I feel like there's a time and a place for all movies. You know, there was a time where nobody liked Trick or Treat, you know? Nobody liked that when it first came out. And I liked it. I remember I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like for us, just kind of like doing this, it's kind of like set us back to like, you know, kind of let the movie play for a bit, kind of get used to it. Cause it was like, well, you're next. It took us a few times to watch that film to kind of like enjoy that.
Yeah. I think it took me 3 or 4 times. And then I was like, you know what? I like it now. I got it.
Wow.
I got it.
See that to me is worth a conversation. And that's where this is why I like to talk to other people, because I think it's so fascinating why people don't like movies, you know, and maybe it's something I also don't like, or I do like, and I just feel like diving into that, you can really like get to know people. And like, I would love to be a movie curator for somebody. Like that would be like the best job. Cause I feel like I can, you know, if you can tell me about what you can handle, like, one of the grad students that I've become really close with, she was saying, like, I don't really like, you know, gore or whatever. And, she had seen like Gretel and Hansel. And I was like, oh, you like that? And then my mind was like, click, 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 click. And then I had like a bunch of other things that necessarily may not necessarily be in line with something she would have automatically thought she would have liked. But, you know, that to me is kind of fun. You know,
I think it's about the experience of like how you watch the film and like how, like where you were at the time. Cause I think like everybody hates a Halloween Resurrection, but I just remember having a good time in the theaters going to watch it because it was like, at that time I was in high school and I was able to go on a date with this girl. And mm-hmm. so she mm-hmm. brought her annoying brother. And I had my other friends, like they were sitting on the other row. And so it was like kind of cool. It was a cool experience and stuff. And they were scared. So I was like, all right, you like this?
I had the same experience for Halloween Resurrection. Yeah. So I was on a date and like, yes. That's what you did. That's what you did. You went to a horror movie every day.
Funny you mentioned Halloween Resurrection. I just bought, I don't know, was it Fright Rags? They did Resurrection. Yeah. I bought the trick or treat motherfucker shirt. Yeah. I bought it. Nice. I was like, that's why you watch that movie, is to see Busta Rhymes just go kung fu. And oh my gosh, it's just so silly. And that's what I mean. I feel like, you know, as much as we can hate on, you know, Resurrection and things like that, I do still like to watch it. Like, I do like to watch part six. Never. I like seeing Paul Rudd so serious.
And I always talk about part six because that was like, I think I actually watched part six before I watched most of them. And that always had like a, like for me, I loved it, but like some people watch it and they don't like it at all because, you know, they watched all the previous entries before.
Yeah. I think, you know, reviews back when in the 90s and stuff, like Siskel and Ebert, people that mattered, their opinion mattered. I think that's another reason I was so late to, you know, Italian horror, even Dressed to Kill, even though that wasn't a badly rated or reviewed movie, it was just so like, whoa, you know what I mean? For the guts of the movie and what it was really about with Michael Caine's character and things like that. But, you know, my parents had always kind of been like, you go to the movie and you want to feel something and it's not necessarily like popcorn movies. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I love Jurassic Park. I love the Terminator movies. I hate to admit, but I've only seen Iron Man out of all the Marvel movies only. And Iron Man was the first one, right? Like 2008, something like that. So, you know, but those movies to me, like that's a chore. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of storyline. There's like, what, like 50 characters? You know what I mean? And backstories, and there's like five different ways to watch all the movies. Like, I'm kind of just like, guys, what? You know, like, cause they came out at different points and you can watch them chronologically, but you don't have to. And I'm just like, okay, this is just, you know, let's just pop in 1 through 5. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's just keep them, you know, I appreciate when movies are like that. I like prequels that come out later. No problems with that, but I feel like with the Marvel movies and like the 9 different ways to watch them, just like,
it's crazy.
They're great, but you know,
I just had to look up If Looks Could Dress to Kill, because in my mind I thought of If Looks Could Kill with Richard Grieco, and I was like, Siskel and Ebert had any problem with that one. But yeah, Dress to Kill, different.
Yeah, a little bit.
You sent me for a super throwback earlier. You had talked about the Ichabod Crane thing. And that's so funny to hear someone else bring that up, because I used to watch that as a kid, like every year. And then I watched it last year because it's on Disney Plus now.
Yes.
And I was like, it is so, the first half of it, though, is so boring. Like,
I don't watch the Mr. Toad.
No, but even like the first part of the Ichabod part, when he's in like this and he's having that banter with the other guy, and it's like there's this whole lead up to like the woods scene, and I'm like, that is so boring.
Well, I feel like it sets the tone, you know.
But the woods scene is amazing. And I remember as a kid, I would like, it would kind of get my heart racing a little bit. And now it's like, it's just funny to watch. But that's a great reference, right there.
I love Bing Crosby. So I feel like for me, and this goes back to like my parents, like, you know, really instilling in me about like good movies. So like Double Indemnity was like one of the very first mysteries I think I ever watched, which is Barbara Stanwyck. And it's literally the best neo-noir movie. Like, and I remember watching that very young and being like, glued to the TV, even though like my niece can't watch like Rear Window. And Rear Window was like 15 years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's like, it's a little boring. I was like, you got to like let Gene Kelly kind of do her thing for a minute and then we'll get into the naughty neighbor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the only thing is some of those older movies have a lot of lead. You know what I mean? Yes. And a lot of kind of Quentin Tarantino conversations that you do need to pay attention to. And I feel like, you know, nobody does it better than Alfred Hitchcock. So, you know, and I think that was another big staple for me was when I was younger was Alfred like, Hitchcock. And like I considered myself kind of a snob because I just was like, these are the best, you know what I mean? These are the best horror movies.
Isn't it a funny thing though, to go from like that mind frame? Cause when I was younger, I was definitely like into like, I still kind of do. I'm like, I have to watch all the Oscar nominees. So I know who's running and I can make my informed opinion about this.
Right.
But then I like love trashy, like 80s sleazy horror movies. Isn't that such like an odd contradiction, but it can exist. Like you can enjoy one and still enjoy the other too.
Yes. And you were talking about like watching movies and like remembering the experience you had when you watched it. And I feel like the best example is when I came and saw Slumber Party Massacre. That was, you know, my husband and I like sat in the back and, you know, I'm chatty. So, and I tried to like not sit near anybody so I wouldn't bother them. And the two of us were just like, you know, going back and forth, just being silly and one-liners to one another and just being stupid. And somebody at the intermission like turned around and was like, and I thought they were going to yell at me. And I was like, oh God. And they were like, oh my God, I have to say. And they were like, you are hilarious. And I was like, oh, and I'm like, I am not trying to be funny. I'm like, I'm just drinking. And I was like, I'm just like, this is kind of what happens. Yeah. And, you know, but I remember like a lot of people were like that. We were all laughing together. We were all rolling our eyes about, you know, certain scenes or the cheesy moments in the movie or, you know, the jump scares. And, you know, and I feel like that's the best part about horror. You know, you can't sit and watch Titanic and have those moments with people. It's different. You know what I mean? Jurassic Park, same thing. It's different. You know, like I remember, what was it that I think it was when we watched Scream 5 in the theater. That was one of the first times I had felt in a long time, like, the whole theater wanted to get up and clap because it was for Wes and, you know, the whole ending of Scream 5. So, I feel like that's what we've been missing for so long. And these little events that you guys hold are so important. And I feel like it's so needed. And I wish that there were so many more places that did stuff like this because there, you know, even if it was an action club one, you know, go watch your Steven Seagal movies, you know, go watch your, you know, Kung Fu movies. You know, I wish that there were more outlets for that because I think a lot of people, you'd be surprised at how, you know, and I'm sure you guys have seen your events grow in numbers. And so, I mean, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? To like have that space for the misfits, if you will, you know what I mean? Because horror has always had the scarlet letter all over it. And only until I feel like.
Just a few years ago.
I feel like maybe even like It Follows, like maybe A24 was kind of the big, you know, the icing on the cake. I don't know, you know, because I don't want to say Blumhouse. I don't. Because I feel like there's something a little more. What's the word? Factory. With Blumhouse, whereas A24 pumps out so much more original content in general, not just horror. So I don't know. I love the space. I love how many other things might be happening, even in any studio. You know, I just watched Murder Size on Tubi. That was funny. Yeah. You know, that was, you know, there is something about a good, bad horror movie too, that I feel like, that's why I don't love to trash on stuff because it's like this is probably going to be like a cult movie later, and you know, I want to respect what I don't do and what I can't do, you know, and like our friends up in Maine that just did The Devils Are We. I watched that I watched that in September. That was so great for I don't even know if they had a budget or pocket money, whatever. You know what I mean? Like that was so great. So
I think you said like $3,000.
Right? Like that is so amazing. Like I just, I'm, you know, and I think there's been a couple other like iPhone movies, like Unsane was an iPhone movie. Like it's just what, you know, what we're able to do now with movies is so, yeah, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited, you know, and you're right. The last probably like 5 years, and I don't want to say it's because of the Halloween trilogy, but I want to say like something about the late 2000s before we hit 2020, there was something stirring in the horror community in a good way. And then the door, the floodgates opened and we had a great banger year this year for movies. And even last year was great. So, I mean, I really hope that we're going to keep the momentum up.
Yeah,
for the rest of the year, we've got some good ones, of course, with the strike and everything. I don't know, but we'll see what happens, you know. We'll see. Can always hope, but yeah.
So now, you know, big fans of Spirit Halloween, all the stores have opened up. Have you guys been able to go and check out some of your local stores? And what have you guys picked up so far?
I went to, I have like a gem TJ Maxx that I go to. That's like a great one. And right next door, they opened up a Spirit. And I went like right when they opened, I got a new one of the baubles, the Michael Myers baubles with the sheet. I got that one. And oh geez, I went like beginning of September because they opened so early. I was so excited. I got like a few things. I didn't go crazy this year on decor because I had the back-to-back conventions in September. Yeah. So I was like, I have to be good. But yeah, I mean, those bobbleheads aren't cheap though. So yeah, I got that. And oh, I did get another sign. Another Michael Myers, like, I think it's like his wanted sign. And yeah, I mean, they've got some really, you know, I feel like every year they're coming out with new animatronics, new lawn things. The costumes I felt like this year were better. I felt like, or at least this location had some really great updated versions of costumes. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're going to have the Hocus Pocus, you know, Sanderson sisters and things like that. But you know, I jokingly said to my husband, we should be Nadia and Laszlo from What We Do in the Shadows. I don't know if you guys watch that, so silly and amazing. Oh yeah, that's so cute. I love that.
I got the little Sam. I just really loved him, and I don't have enough Sam stuff. I'm trying to think what else I got. I'm also like a Home Goods and TJ Maxx guy because their Halloween stuff is always good. I got like a Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein bust and stuff like that.
I finally found that Headless Horseman with the pumpkin.
I got that too. Yeah.
And I got the all black one. And then I saw they made like the pumpkin orange on some, but I was like, no, I like the all black. But last year I never, and I got this Bad Larry. I've been looking for him.
Yes.
Forever.
And I got that. Is this the one? Yeah. Yeah. I got the Headless Horseman.
So exciting. Like I feel like that's what, you know, it's good and bad about these influencers. And like I saw something at Target. It was like a ghost picture. Can I find it? No. You know, like that's the thing is like, I love that. Like, oh, that's cool. I can go find it. And they're like, so can everybody else. Like, yes. Shoot.
Try online. I think the app might have it.
So. Oh yeah. I'll have to check. Yeah. I'll have to check that. But yeah, I mean, it's been, I feel like Halloween this year has been very popular and escalated. So
started early.
Yeah, it was funny. I had stopped in there one day and I had text Dave. I'm like, dude, I picked up that Child's Play 2 Jack in the Box. So I was like, I needed that because like we had talked about it before how when I was younger, how the commercial for Child's Play 2 came on. And so like the Jack in the Box was playing and then like, I'm like, what the hell is this? And then like Chucky steps on it and he's like, sorry, Jack, Chucky's back. And so I was just like, all right, I have to get that. I can't pass up on that because that was just something that like just played a big, you know, part of my life as a kid. So for horror.
No.
So that was
absolutely
cool. I had seen they had the Scream 6 mask too, like the old messed up one. And so I was looking at it. I'm like, the quality to the one I had in my hand was like not good. I'm like, all right,
it wasn't trick or treat.
Yeah,
I was just
trick or treat brand.
I was just going
to
say that.
Put it down.
Yeah. I feel like there are masks. Unless you really don't care, you know what I mean? You just want to like, you know what I mean? But if you're somebody who wants the details, I actually bought from Trick or Treat the Halloween game that I pre-ordered that. Yep. It should be shipping soon. And then I did pre-order the Scarecrow mask from Enns and the cat one because I already have the outfit. like the same mesh shirt she wears and everything to cosplay Allison eventually. So I'm just waiting for that mask trick or treat. Let's go. No.
That Scarecrow one is awesome. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was thinking too, like, and who cares what my husband looks like? I was like, I could have him in the picture too with the, you know, so, you know, got the wheels.
He's like, who am I again?
I know. Right. He's like, what movie is this? Like,
why do we have to do this?
Yeah. What does this have to do with the Halloween movies?
I swear.
And
guys,
nobody knows.
Every time I do the ghost pictures, they're in my backyard. And I swear my neighbors are like, what are they up to? I'm just like walking out of my house. I can't see anything. I'm like, oh my gosh. I feel like my neighbors must think I'm crazy. Like I walk home with like VHS. I have like those, you know, I have those VHS cabinet shelf things. Which if you're going to collect VHS, you're going to have to go all the way and get the fake veneer, crappy 80s, you know. So I have like three of those. And I remember, like, when I got one, somebody shipped it to me from eBay with no packing material. He literally just put it in a box. Oh, I'm saying God. Me because I know it was a man.
I think Dave sent you that.
It was me.
Dave's terrible.
No, it was like, but I mean, it's literally put together with like little pins. So thankfully, like, my husband does woodworking and we were able to kind of, you know, fix it. But I was still just like, sheesh, this should have just been free. I like put this together.
Free.
Someone's getting a bad eBay review.
Oh, he did. He did.
motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. And I was going to say, we wanted to talk about vinyl. I actually, the only vinyl I did get this month was I did get the Fright Rags Spooky Sounds one.
Oh, you got it.
I don't have it yet, but I did order it. I haven't had the, I'm trying to think the last vinyl I got. I want to say the last one I got was The Menu. I'm still waiting on Scream 5. Can you believe that, guys? Wow. They promised, so this Serenese is that it's S-A-E-R. It's a weird name, but they did the, they're doing a Scream 6 one and people are commenting like, don't even buy it. We haven't even gotten 5 yet. Apparently, manufacturing records, apparently, even Waxwork can probably back me up, has been a nightmare if you're third partying it. So that's why Waxwork has their own in-house pressing because they were just up against a lot of bullshit. And I think even in the pin world, pins, like, you know, horror pins and stuff, the manufacturing thing, that's another kind of issue people are having. So I don't know, but I think they've had Serenese for Scream 5. They've had like 3 or 4 different factories. And I'm like, can you just sub it out to Waxwork? Can you or Mondo? Yeah. Like, can we please
Because I think a lot of like even some of your like new albums that are releasing like today, it all depends on when the album's like pushed in and like all set, because like some of the big artists, some of their records take at least like 6 months to get put on vinyl, you know, and the album can drop. I think that happened with like SZA. I'm like, all right, I want this album on vinyl, and I had to wait like 6 months. And so I'm just like, all right, now I looked into it and it's like, it's different now because some of these albums are like turned in on midnight, like before the album releases. And so they're not really complete. So like they don't have the right set list and everything to like have it, because that's the thing, is like nowadays change it like whenever they want. So
yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I didn't even think about regular music.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about like soundtrack scores, but yeah, you're right. I'm sure there's, and especially with the popularity of vinyl recently, you know what I mean? I was gonna show you
Brandon, I ended up finding the Lost Boys at an antique market recently.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, I ended up getting offline.
I got this bad boy. I was like, I can't pass this up. It's Alive too.
What?
On vinyl. So
wow, and then, I didn't even know that was real.
I actually haven't seen this movie, but I was like, this cover looks too good to pass up. So it's called Haunted. So that makes me want to watch the movie, and it's a very sweet cover. So
that's funny. Speaking of buying things for cool covers, not to like get off of the vinyl track, but that's exactly why I bought the lamp, Vinegar Syndrome, because it just had like a really cool.
Look at that.
I was like, this is just really neat. Is the movie neat? No, but it was decent.
It's a display.
It's a nice cover.
Yes.
It wasn't like super expensive, and I don't do a lot of blind buys, but September I did a lot. Like I did The Boogeyman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw the magic.
So I did that. Yep. Shallow Grave, which was pretty fun.
No.
That was a pretty cool cover too. And then Trauma. Area.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I'd actually never seen that. But again, you know, somebody one of my regular friends, a non-horror, you know, collector or anything, was like, how come you still buy fucking DVDs? And, you know, I'm like, well, maybe not DVDs, but I'm like, I do buy Blu-ray, 4K. I do try to get a good copy of a movie. And I said, I was like, most of what I'm buying, either it's because I want to watch it whenever I want, meaning if my internet's down, I can still watch it. Yep. And I was like, a lot of it too is like, I can't stream it. So like, I have The Fury, 1978, mm-hmm. with, I'm blanking, but John Cassavetes and Charles, not him, but yeah, that movie. And Kirk Douglas, there we go. And I had to buy it because I was like, I had to also buy the European one because there is no American Blu-ray, FYI. So I had to buy a region 2-1, but I didn't care because, and of course now it's on HBO Max. Right after I got it, now you can stream The Fury on HBO Max. But I also was, you know, I don't know how long it's going to be on there, but that was one of those movies that watching Eli Roth's History of Horror, it's another thing that's kind of like opened my mind to other movies along with the Darkness ones,
In the Search of Darkness.
There we go. In the Search of Darkness. Those have also opened my eyes to other movies that I, you know, because I wasn't in, not all those movies were on tape when I was, you know, at the movie store. Plus also the movie store wasn't going to buy, you know, other Trauma. You know what I mean? They were maybe they had Toxic Avenger, but they didn't have like Romeo and Juliet. Like they didn't have any of those or anything. So, you know, it's been really cool to like discover older movies and be like, oh my God, I love that, you know? Yeah. And I think September has actually been a very big month for me of watching a lot of new stuff because I love to save Halloween and some of the Fridays and Chucky and Nightmare on Elm Street for October.
Closer to Halloween.
Yeah. Like I'll watch Halloween, especially the trilogy, the new trilogy and Rob Zombies. Like I'll watch those like, every weekend. Like I'm terrible. I watch Scream 4 every weekend. Yeah. I had to buy another Blu-ray because I think my other one is
I'm so bad.
You brought up a good point
about like, you know, physical media and like when you lose Wi-Fi. Like my Wi-Fi was down like a couple weeks ago and like from the rainstorm and everything like that. And so it was down for like 2 days. And so I'm just like, fuck, I can't watch anything. But I'm like, all right, let me go downstairs because all my movies were like in the basement. And I have them like packed away. So I'm like, fuck. And I just put the VCR on. So I end up watching like House 1 and 2 and like trying to just kill time and just doing things. But like, yeah, it definitely sucks when you don't have, you know, your internet service provider working or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely safe to get physical media.
Yeah. And like I said, too, it's I love that. It's, you know, we're getting these really awesome releases and extra content and new commentary and things like that. Like when I watched The Green Inferno, which is an Eli Roth movie, I did, instead of doing a normal episode of where I like talk about what happens in the movie and blah, 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 and, you know, boring, walk you through it. I decided, you know what? Screw it. Let's listen to the commentary and see what happens. Because I've seen this movie so many times. It's pretty graphic. It's very graphic. So I was like, let's just, you know, different direction. And that was almost better than just watching the movie because it was Eli Roth and like four of the people in the movie. And he wasn't married, or was he married to Lorenza yet? I don't know if they were married yet. They might've been dating. So it was also like interesting to hear about like that part of the, just like what they did for those villagers and like what they had to go through to actually get the film to work there because it was so hot. And like it was just, and you know, Lorenza talks about like, she's like, there's no makeup on that set. She's like, that's real sweat. And there's a close-up of one of the guys at the end of the movie and he's like grabbing onto the cage. You can literally see like all the bug bites. And like they were like, that's real. Like in the commentary, like, that's not fake. We all got eaten alive. You know, and I'm sure other actors have commented like on Danielle and Hatchet too. She's commented about getting chiggers up her butt. You know, like that was real. Like she's like, it was gross there, like we were really in the swamp, like there was, that wasn't fake, you know, that's not a set piece, you know. You know,
a problem.
Well, my gosh, I've heard another movie that happened, like it's just bugs are gross. Props to all the actors that put them through that, put themselves through that.
So now, like, another piece of news was kind of like thrown out there that The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs season 6 was announced. This is labeled as the supersized season with over 30 films, which is a new record, and will start on March 2024 on Shudder. They will showcase one movie every other Friday versus the double features we've come used to over the years. Wow. How do you guys feel about that?
I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. It's better for me because I never stay up for the second one anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people fall asleep.
I'm too old.
Same. Well, I feel like too, maybe that just means like, because I usually watch the episodes later. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So I like to watch them movie by movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of used to that. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm excited that it'll just be like that because maybe I will tune in live. I just feel like sometimes on Fridays, I mean, I just slips my mind. Seriously, this is why like sometimes I can't plan anything because my mind is sometimes just like, oops, nope, we're doing something else.
Yeah.
Or like, it's like, ooh, shiny. So I, you know, but I like that. I'm glad that they're changing it up. I'm excited that they're doing more movies. I'm definitely excited to see what they're going to pull out of their hat for movies.
Yeah.
Because they definitely go way more B, which is cool. Because I would have never watched Uncle Sam without that. So thank you.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Never. I know. Come on, guys. I told you I was a movie snob. So that movie, like, never. Yeah. So I'm glad that I did. And I think I also watched, did they do The Beyond? I think that's how I watched that the first time.
That was an early season one. Wasn't
yeah.
It? I mean, I think an it was early
first season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like for me, it's also kind of nice. Because if you've never seen them, you can hear Joe Bob talk about the movie and his banter with Darcy. I love Darcy anyway, so I feel like I really like to watch that part of it, you know? I'm trying to think of what else they opened me up to, but there's been a few movies that I've been
For sure. I mean, I can honestly say, like, there's been probably 50% of them have been like new watches for me, I would say. And that might be an overestimate, but like, there was a lot. Even Castle Freak, that was my first time watching Castle Freak.
Yeah. No, I love it.
I just always kind of slept on that one. And when I saw that was on there, I was like, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, they did The Mutilator. That was another one I hadn't really seen. Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's the best part about this is I feel like in the horror community, there's always going to be something I haven't seen. And I love that. You know, I just got it's actually going to be released soon, but The Night of the Demons. I've only seen the first one. And then I was able to watch the second one. I was like, this was fun as fuck. And like Christine Taylor's in it. Like, it was just like, what? That's another awesome thing I love about horror movies is you always are going to find someone who started in horror. Yeah. Or see them when they're younger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, perfect example is Paul Rudd. You know what I mean? That was one of his first big movies was Curse of Michael Myers. So, you know, I feel like it's, and I've heard from lots of different actors, whether it's the horror ones that we all know or other actors in general, a lot of them have said, you know, those are the best sets that they've been on too, you know, because they try to keep it light, they try, you know, as much as they can. So, you know, I don't know. I'm excited what Joe Bob's going to show for 30 episodes.
I know,
my goodness.
I think it's going to be a lot of Shudder original films thrown into the bag now this time.
Oh,
so.
Right. Oh, yeah. Do you think, you said it's starting in March because there's another VHS coming out, but that's next month.
Next month. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Yeah. What else has come? Did Talk to Me come out in September?
September? On digital. Yeah. I think on digital.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, we've seen it in theaters.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's what I mean. There's so many great new things coming out, and we're giving opportunities to people that I don't know if those directors would have had another opportunity, you know? So I'm excited to see these new, fresh, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of who was a fresh director when we were in, like, high school and stuff. I guess Quentin could have been one, but not really when I was in high school because I was like early 2000. He was already kind of there. Yeah. You know,
right after high school is more when I remember a lot of like Rob Zombie, House of a Thousand Corpses. That was like right the year after I graduated, I think.
Yeah, I was in high school.
And I was in college.
And being like, oh, damn, he's actually a director too. And I loved House of a Thousand Corpses. People can say what they want about Rob Zombie, but you know, like that one is like, to me, you can't beat that. No, you're right.
I mean, it's funny. I actually didn't love the Rob Zombie Halloween movies like 15 years ago. I didn't really like them when they first came out. And then over the last like 7 years, I've been way more of like, okay, like let's just open our minds. And I like to read online about what people say about movies and why they like them or you know, but then after seeing Halloween 2018, I'm kind of like, wait a minute. None of the sequels ever gave me, in my opinion, what I wanted out of gore. Never. None of the Halloween sequels did it. So when Rob Zombie came out, I was like, whoa. And also the whole backstory of Michael, which was totally different. But then, you know, with 2018, you're like, wait a minute. This is very graphic. Yeah. And this is, again, the IP, and we're trying to stay original. So it was really cool to see that flip switch of, wait a minute, I do like the zombie Halloween. And I don't think we would have gotten...
It opened your mind to it, yeah.
Well, I don't think we would have gotten the trilogy we got if that didn't happen. I really don't think so. You know, because even with the Scream movies, that's why I love the fourth one, because in my opinion, and granted it was situational for what was going on in America in 2000 because of the Columbine and other things that were going on, Scream 3 just like didn't deliver enough because of what I knew the R rating criteria was at that point in time. So I felt like with 4, I was like, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for, you know, very graphic, very bloody. So I feel like for me, but then like reading, you know, when I did my Scream 3 episode, and it's because of what had happened and stuff, and they were trying to be sensitive, which there were shows that did the same thing. I think it was Buffy that didn't do a school shooting episode because of everything that was going on. I think Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill, like they kind of either delayed it or just decided not to do it. So, you know, I'm glad that we're kind of ripping the Band-Aid off with like Terrifier 2 in theaters, and, you know, bringing Terrifier back in theaters, and kind of going to that craft, if you will, you know, of practical effects. Yep. So for, you know, for me, I'm excited to see where that's going to go, because I think it's only going to, you know, enhance the movie in ways that like a Marvel movie just can't, you know,
in that way. That's right.
Well, the green screens only, you know, you know, so I know it's necessary.
And there were a few films that came out this month, and unfortunately I didn't make it out to the theater, and I know Brandon, you did, but like, so talk about that in the realm of like some of the films that you saw this month. Like,
yeah, I was able to go check out The Nun 2, which released. I thought it was definitely better than the first film. Some people are actually ranking this film as one of the best in the Conjuring universe.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't know where to kind of like rank that. You'd have to rewatch everything too.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I don't want to, but I think that like, I think sometimes if it's not the original Conjuring movie, I think every other film that kind of started off was kind of like kind of trash. I think the first Annabelle was trash.
Sure. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. You can say it.
I'll be real. But I enjoyed the second one. And then like the rest of them was kind of like, okay. But I don't know. You know, even the Conjuring 2 was weird to me.
Oh, you didn't like the second Conjuring.
I didn't
actually watch the second one. I watched the third one and I skipped the second one for whatever
reason. So see, I felt the second one was way scarier than the first one.
Really?
I liked the first one. I liked it. I love Patrick Wilson. So I have a thing for musicals, and he was Raoul in Phantom of the Opera. So I will always love Patrick Wilson. But, you know, I don't know. That's interesting. Like I said, it's so cool to hear why people don't like stuff, you know, because I really liked the second one. I thought that the stuff with the crooked man and the extra stories and the room being a little more involved, where the Warrens housed all the things and stuff like that. But I agree about the Annabelle movies. I think the second one was with the girls at the home, correct?
And I'm the exact opposite as both. I actually didn't mind the first one. Could not stand the second one. I saw it in the theaters, and you know what? Maybe I need to rewatch it. But like, I was like angry when I left there, because I was like, I thought it was trash.
And then
didn't mind the third one. It is a third one, I think, right? Comes home.
I don't remember that one as much, but okay.
The one in this, when they're at the girls' school, there was like some things that just I could not let go of. And they were silly things, but I'm like, it just ruined the movie for me. For example, the kids see a dead body. They all see a dead body. And then the woman that's like the head keeper or whatever you call her She's like, all right, kids, now go to bed. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? These kids just saw a dead body and you're telling them to go to bed. Like, sleep what? Tight. That would not happen. But there was like stupid things like that that ruined the movie for me. They just,
I'm not saying it was perfect, but I'm saying it was better than the first one.
I was like angry when I left there. I was like, that, because I was actually excited for that film.
Well, I kind of liked excited for Annabelle, but coming off the Conjuring. And then I'm just like, no. But I think it's hard, you know, whenever you're gonna you have a killer doll coming up against it, you have so many other films like Dolly Dares, Child's Play to kind of go against, you're not gonna satisfy everybody.
Demonic toys.
Yeah. It's like ghost movies. I just talked about that too. I was like, I feel like it's a hit or a miss, and it's really
I'm with you.
How you lay it out.
Into that. You know, the other thing is I just also like just in general do not find the Annabelle doll creepy looking. And like I actually think it would have been more effective if they just stuck with the Raggedy Ann.
Because
it's actually she's not menacing. That actually makes it kind of, I think, a little creepier. She just looks like an old doll. And the Annabelle is like trying to make her look menacing, which to me kind of loses the effect. It's like Robert the doll, like a porcelain doll. The boy, right?
Yeah, the boy.
What's his name?
Oh, wait, was the third one? Was the third Annabelle about the couple?
The third Annabelle was when you're actually in the Warrens' like demon room, right? Like they have all the displays everywhere.
Am I confusing the second and third?
The samurai guy came out, so it started to highlight everybody, and that's when they started to open a door to like all the universes of like what's going to happen.
Yikes!
And I thought that one was actually kind of dull. There was like some
it wasn't anything crazy.
Long periods where it was like nothing cool happened.
That's what I mean. Like some movies I'm like, do I need to buy that? Nah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. If we're all sitting here and we like can't remember certain installments, that also like says something about the franchise itself. And like none of those films are really sticking out to us that strongly that we like vividly remember.
Yeah. I've commented about that too, about how certain movies I'm just like, I don't even remember what the fuck happened. Like
Countdown,
I bought it because it was cheap, but I'm like, do I even remember?
Countdown.
The one with the cell phone, it's an app.
Yeah, it's kind of newer.
It's the girl from Revenge. No, not Revenge. It's the girl from You, from the first season. Anyway.
Rachel something. I can't remember her last name.
Yeah.
Rachel Woods.
No. Is that really her name?
Maybe not.
No, it's okay. anyway, she's blonde. Same thing.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. And there's another movie that I always am like, oh yeah, that's what it was about.
Right.
You're right. That it's a movie that just didn't hold me. You know what I mean? I think the first Ouija movie, I'm probably saying it wrong, but the first one was kind of
Ouija,
dull.
Actually.
Sorry, Ouija. But the first one was kind of dull, but it's got that girl from the Bates Motel, Olivia Cook or whatever her name is. So, you know, but the second one, I really liked the origin of Ouija.
The second one was good,
But that actress, Lulu Wilson, from the Annabelle one, like she's great, and she's in the Becky movies. Like she's gonna go places.
Yep.
She's a great actress, and as a child, if you can really harness a lot of that, you know. And then she was—I don't know if you guys saw Becky, but that was great. I got to see the new one,
we were able to check out the second one, and I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yes,
that was a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. I know, those are fun. I love that there are actors in it, like Kevin James and the soup guy. I can't think of his name, but you know, that are in it. They're like, I would have never pictured you here. You know what I mean? And I thought Kevin James was really great. I was very impressed by that movie more so than I thought that I was going to be, you know what I mean? Cause sometimes I don't love action horror like that, you know, like Upgrade would be another example, but I loved it, you know? But it was also Lee Winnell. So I'm going to love it.
It's funny because we were able to check out the second one before it came out and talk with the writers and directors of it. And so in this one, it has Stifler from American Pie. What's his name? So he's
Sean William Scott.
Sean William Scott. So he's doing like the same role as like how Kevin James was as the bad guy. So it's like,
They
keep it going, you know, and this one kind of has that same tone to it. Like, the second, like the sequels would have, like the comedy driven to it. So it brings another, like a different layer to it. So it was pretty cool.
Did you see him in Bloodline?
Bloodline.
Yeah.
I don't check that out.
Ooh, so that's another more dramatic role for him. Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't want to give it away, but I would recommend checking it out. It came out probably in the last like 3 years, I would want to say. Yeah, I think it's called Bloodline. He's like a dad.
Add it to the list.
I'm excited to see, you know, like in Knock at the Cabin, you know, Dave Bautista, is that how you say his name? You know, he was in that. And I feel like a lot of people were like, wait, what?
And he did a great job too.
Yeah,
like, I like him.
I thought that you know, a lot of people give M. Night shit. And I don't, because I mean, I never saw Lady in the Water, but I liked The Village. So if everybody hates The Village, I'm not going to listen to them, because I thought that was great.
Yes.
Right? Like Joaquin and Bryce Dallas, like, just, you know, the twist. Like, I just felt like, what? Like, the end of it was just great. And I don't remember if he was involved in Devil, but it feels like he was. That elevator one.
I kind of want to say he was.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm an M. Night for sure. Like, I definitely dig what he does.
Yeah.
I know, he, you know, he's gotten his, like, it's almost formulaic. Like, we expect it so much, and you never know. And then you can't appease everybody, though, when they're expecting a twist and everyone wants to predict it, and then it doesn't go the way they want it, then they get upset. But
well, everybody's expecting another Sixth Sense. And that's the problem with some of these directors, all of them, is that, you know, we just assume that they're going to be able to turn movies the way we want and the way we expect. I mean, Quentin Tarantino is probably the perfect example of that. You know, his last movies are not Pulp Fiction or Kill Bill. You know what I mean? And they're totally different. I mean, is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood bad? No, but is it as exciting as Death Proof? Absolutely not. Like, Death Proof is so much more exciting, you know? So that's where I just feel like that's just him doing something different. And these directors and actors are allowed to do different things. And I think, you know, it's great to see it, but sometimes for people it is a miss. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I said, I haven't seen The Lady in the Water or whatever, The Lady in the Lake, whatever that, you know, not so great movie he did. Mm. There's one more that I haven't seen, but like, I liked Old, like, you know, I just kind of, like I said,
I liked The Happening, that
oh,
premise.
Okay. That's another one. Right. Yep.
And like, I know that got a bad rap too, but like that premise, I kind of like the idea of like nature taking over and all that stuff. Like, that just interests me. So like, 3/4 of the movie I really enjoyed. And then I think it kind of lost me at one point, but it's like, it is what it is. It's an experience. So.
Well, I feel like too, like, I don't want to sound like super queer right now, but like, you know, we have no idea what's going on in the background of these movies. Sometimes the idea that he signed up for is not what we see. I mean, I think the perfect example of that would be like producers' cuts of movies or directors' cuts that are like 5 hours longer. Like, I feel like there are so much that we have no idea, scenes that are totally committed and acted and then we cut. Sure. You know what I mean? There's so many actors that are in movies that their scenes are just cut. And they were like, well, I'm glad I showed up for that. Like, you know, so I think that it's kind of, you know, interesting to that so many people just want to shit on things when we really have no idea why. And there probably is a valid reason why some of these movies are just, you know, bad producers, bad vision or bad explanations or actors misinterpreting roles or scenes or, you know, so many variables go into these. So that's why I try to stay a little reserved, unless a movie is just absolute garbage, which it's pretty rare for me, but I mean, there are some.
Yeah, some a big thing that I had like noticed and kind of learned going over doing this over the years, you know, some directors go into films, you know, really not having that passion for this project, but it's like, hey, if you take this project, we'll get that passion project that you want made down the road. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what happens, you know? And so it's just like, it's just, it is what it is, you know? So a lot of these people don't have attachments to a lot of some of these films that are being made.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right.
So, Brandon, just kind of changing gears a little bit, I wanted to just ask you, because you checked out a film that I really didn't know too much about. So I wanted to, and I never really got a chance to ask you or talk about it with you. It Lives Inside.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Tell me
it's
about it.
Yeah, it's a supernatural horror film. Kind of steps on the whole origin film. It's kind of just like if it was The Boogeyman, but was like focusing on like heritage and stuff like that, because it was a girl's family. She was the Indian. And so it just kind of like focused on that a little bit. But I have to be honest, I end up falling asleep like midway through the film. Like, damn those recliner seats. Like, I can't go to those theaters, like, put the seat up, recline, and you know, once those lights hit, I work overnight, so I'm not on my normal sleep schedule. So I missed probably like 30 minutes of the movie. I woke up, like, that seeing some of the jump scares and everything that happened. Cool creatures. But my kid said it was all right, but I have to run it back again and kind of check it out. So I can't give you a 100% view on it.
Yeah.
But from I've seen, it was decent. So,
okay.
That's funny. I feel like I just saw something about that.
Yeah. I've literally only seen like the poster image of it. And I don't think I've caught any trailers or anything. Yeah. So
that's the same thing. I went to it blind. I didn't even know, because it was just like I had seen it because we were promoting all the films for Showcase Cinemas, and it was on. It says It Lives Inside. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go check this out. And
maybe next,
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah. That's funny. That happens. It happens.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess.
But it's crazy. So another film, you know, back in 2007, you talked about Eli Roth earlier. Mm. He created a fake Thanksgiving slasher trailer that we all wish would release. You know, every Thanksgiving we would kind of throw it up on our social media platform saying, why isn't this shit being made? Well, it's finally going to release this November. You know, the trailer was released, and I can't wait to check out this film. How do you guys feel about this Thanksgiving film releasing?
Finally, after all those ghost documentaries and the shark shit, we're getting back. No, I'm definitely excited that he's doing this. I'm excited, you know, like I said, after watching History of Horror and all that, and I'm just excited for him to dip his toes back in with more experience and rest, because I'm sure, you know, making the Hostel movies and doing Green Inferno were extremely draining, you know what I mean? And then he did the show, so I mean, I'm excited. I think this is going to be, I'm not excited about some of the cast members, but I'm excited about the movie. So
okay, so I thought the trailer looked great.
Yeah.
It looks just like this, like, you know, it looks like a slasher film made for slasher fans. And I love holiday horrors. So like, I'm never going to, you can't go wrong. You throw me a Thanksgiving horror and I'm like, yes. All right. We don't have enough because we're recycling. Yeah. I can only watch Blood Rage and Thanksgiving and Home Sweet Home so many times. So
exactly.
It's good to have a new one on the list that, you know, hopefully it will live up to the hype for it. But
yeah,
I feel like this happens super fast. I feel like we got the announcement a few months later. It's like it's filming, and then all of a sudden the trailer drops. So it was like, I kind of like that it was, we didn't hear about it too soon, you know?
I feel like because I've been listening to Smartless, they've been saying that like certain directors just really have it together and just really like one, I forget who the hell it was, but it was some movie that they did. And they were like, he had like seven cameras up and then we did two takes and we moved on. I was like,
damn.
What? Yeah. Right. But they were done like 4 weeks early. So it's kind of, but like in the movie still was like a box office, you know, so he's one of those directors. And I feel like he's probably one of those people that is like, this is how it's going. I already know who's, you know, and I always have thought too, that when we get for most movies, when we get the here we go, it's either, if it's a big studio, it's going to take a long time. You know, like the Barbie movie. I was just listening to Greta Gerwig. I mean, it took her 3 years to get that out. So, I mean, but whereas somebody like him, because he doesn't need visual, he doesn't need massive set pieces. Yeah. Like, it really depends on what you want to work with. And I feel like he's kind of one of those directors. I mean, it's probably, I don't know if he had a big budget too. I feel like smaller budget stuff you could get.
Sure.
I think that, you know, just with the studios probably seeing like how much traction the trailer has been getting, like the fake trailer itself has been getting over the years, that just like how people always saying, I want this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all right, let's fucking give it to them. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what jumped onto it and made it come out a little quicker, because he just kind of like, he's releasing a kid's cartoon. Yeah. And so he's been working on that for about 10 years. And so, you know, that's getting put out by DreamWorks. So like you said, that took time. So I think that, you know, when something has a little bit of buzz to it, that's when these big name, you know, big time companies are going to say, all right, let's push it, you know, and let's get it done. So,
well, there's something else too that Danielle talks about, because she does a lot of like Natty Knox Mm-hmm. There's a Mr. Giggle or there's some other movie she's in that's coming out, but Natty Knox took so long to come out on theaters and then on physical media because they needed a studio to buy it.
Oh yeah.
So it's another part that I didn't even, because we're so used to, you know, studio funded and started movies. I don't know if Thanksgiving is. I want to say it. There's no studio, or it's just Lionsgate because he's worked with them so much.
Sure.
So I'm not sure how he was able to, but it kind of depends. And I feel like too, he knows so many people, you know, because he's been in this for so long, and you know, I don't know. I'm excited
to everybody. So
yeah,
you're right. I forget about that sometimes too. There was a director that had posted. He worked with an actress who we had talked to a few times. So we were excited to hear that they completed the film. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this one. Is it coming out? And he's like, we got to still get picked up. And he's like, I have no idea. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
So
that's excitement that we're going to have to just sit with for a while.
Sit on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's what's kind of shitty. Yeah.
So that was, I mean, Thanksgiving, that was obviously a very huge announcement and we're looking forward to that. But there is also another movie dropping.
Yeah.
That is very exciting. I think all, well, Brandon, I think you're excited about this, but I think all three of us are going to be excited. Saw 10. And
yes.
Dex, I know you did like an episode because you deep dived all the Saw movies. Yeah. And like, I'm a huge fan of the Saw franchise.
Yeah.
Brandon, you're a fan. I know you are. As much as like some of them are gonna miss like a with couple. You, but like I know you do like some of them, so I think we can all equally say like this is a very exciting.
Yeah. Well, we're so diving into I feel like the best part of what everybody liked. You know what I mean? We're diving into the before the first four because I feel like after the third one we lost a lot of people, but some hung on. You know what I mean? I think you know, but I'm excited to see more about Amanda and Jigsaw. And I'm also excited to possibly see Hoffman. I somebody saw Costas at a con, and I think I posted the mini little clip of him being like, "So, are we going to see you in Saw 10?" And Costas was like, "I don't know," and he was like winking. I'm like, "Oh, yes!" So I, you know, I love that part of, you know, I like in my, you know, episodes, I dive into that part, you know, and I dive into. Because some people are like, I don't get the story. It doesn't make sense. And I'm like, right, because you're just watching the gore and trying to think of that when the story is not that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the glitter. You know what I mean? So, like, I love Saw 6. Like, that's my favorite one with the insurance company people getting killed. Like, that's my favorite one, you know? So I feel like, I'm excited. I'm excited. I've heard it's going to be great. I've heard that we've all been waiting for this. So I'm stoked that this was a real thing, you know, because we've heard about like the collector movies. There was supposed to be a third one.
That's gone.
Yeah, because what that guy was a writer for the Saw movies.
Yeah.
Marcus Dunstan. Yeah. Sucks. So I mean, like, I feel like I get excited about stuff and it's like, I'm not going to get excited until there's, you know, people casted real. In it. Yep. Right. Like, so I'd kind of rather like be dropped a trailer instead of like, hearing about, you know, things going on in the background and then it falling through, or like all the talk of Neve Campbell possibly coming for Scream 7. I'm like, I'd rather just be surprised. Like, let's just make it a surprise. Like, let's make it that, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't love watching trailers sometimes. If it's more than a minute and a half, I'm probably not going to watch it. That's kind of my rule now.
Yeah.
Too many movies have been curated for a trailer rather than the trailer curated the movie.
Right.
So I don't like tons of stuff given away. Yeah. I'm one of those people that loves a 30-second, no bullshit, you know, what is going on kind of trailer. Like,
show me a bunch of people like screaming and getting chased and a little blood splatter on the wall.
Uh-huh. Sold. No, exactly. I don't want to know what's going to happen. You know, I really want to be surprised. So yeah, I don't really do trailers, but I'll watch like maybe 30 seconds. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We talked about that, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the spot that they did for this? So I don't know if you guys both did this, but like they had a thing where you could make a phone call to a number and Jigsaw answered the phone and you got like this voicemail thing, and then they direct you to text something to a phone number. So once you text it, you're on like their text list now. So I've been getting these texts every now and then. It's like, it will say like a jigsaw phrase, and then it has like a click here. And that's how they released that that spot where it was like the replica of like the Nicole Kidman thing about going to the movies, but it was like the little
that was great. That was great. It.
Yeah. That was like, I feel like they did great with like getting people the marketing and getting people excited for the film by just being interactive.
Yeah.
Well, that was like Smile. I mean, that's like the same thing of having those people in the stands being like, I felt like that was fucking Megan. Same thing with the dancers coming out. Like, I feel like that's where we're going to get people who wouldn't have normally watched the movie to watch it. You know what I mean?
And that just made me think The Nun, Nun 2. I don't know if you guys saw this. They had in some of the theaters, people dressed as like a bunch of people dressed as a nun going in the theaters. And that was like ultra creepy. So that's
awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's like amazing.
Just promotion and horror itself has just been crazy. Just like, you know, the popcorn tubs that are coming out now, like they did with the Scream. And then I have the Saw one, the collector's drink cups, you know?
Yeah, I got the little Scream drink cup. So these I was able to get like pretty late online, the popcorn. I got the popcorn tub and the drink thing from Scream. But I tried getting the jigsaw ones. And I think because people kind of got, you know, like they found out, oh, they're also selling these. The Cinemark ones are online too. The jigsaw ones sold out really quick. So
it's
catching on.
No, I was going to say, that's another thing that's kind of stinks about this is like all the little things that we all love. Now they're so much more mainstream.
Yes.
And for avid collectors, I wouldn't necessarily call myself I don't collect the NECA figurines. I don't do toys. I just try to do unique things, which can be hard. Cause like, that's why, like, I have this Loungefly, you know what I mean? I have a Friday the 13th one, but like somebody's like, are you going to get the new one? I was like, guys, I don't, this is literally a corner. Like, this is not a room. This is literally a corner. So, you know, corner, I don't have, I don't have a ton of space, but you know, I had to buy a new media center for my regular DVDs, not my horror ones. Like I got stuff, but you know, there's so many cool things. And like, I did get like a 5-foot skeleton. I wish he could stand on his own, but that's okay. So that's been kind of nice to have a little prop in the room. But I mean, I don't even, I'm like looking around, like I don't even have any more room. Like the only autographs I have up are just the Michaels, the three, the three. So just Nick, Tyler and James. And then, I don't even have any other autographs hung up because I don't have any room. But I mean, collecting like, it's been, you know, it's going on eBay has been a little sad sometimes. Even tapes. My goodness.
Yeah, tapes are bad. I've seen some crazy prices on tapes, but
Do you know how much the Saw 2 tape is?
I don't even want to know.
It's like 500. Like I got the Saw, original Saw tape. Somebody had a post online was like selling tapes and it was like $10. I was like, mine, gimme. Because online the regular Saw one is like, and this was before the movie was announced when I got it. And online the regular one's like $50 and up. But if you look at when it came out, that was when tapes were really dwindling, you know, the early 2000s. So, you know, Saw 2 came out 2005 or so. So I mean, that was really when tapes were kind of like, maybe we're going to make less. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to, DVDs were bigger. That was right after the HD Blu-ray HD Blu-ray battle. That was weird. It was so weird. Anyway, but I mean, I honestly thought 4K was going to go away. I was like, please go away.
We don't need another thing.
I stopped getting a lot of movies because it was like, you just said you had to replace your media center. Yeah. Like once you sit there and add more on and you see like bare spaces and you're just like, all right, I have to fucking fill this up. And then so I'm just like, I'm happy I'm out of there. I'm in recovery right now.
Yeah.
I'm moving here and there if I need it. But it was bad. I was in Best Buy every Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm not that bad, but they know me. They do know me.
I would get all movies and it was just like, I'm a fan of all films, but like I said, if there's a bare like spaces in there, you just try to fill it up as much as you can, but
No, like I just discovered like other steelbooks that aren't horror. And now I got like Chicago, Mission Impossible, Mean Girls, Showgirls, Sidekicks. I'm like, okay, Jackie, okay. Yeah, but like you can't watch Sidekicks.
I'm not crazy about steelbooks like that. I don't mind. I don't need them like that.
I don't need all of them. I don't need all of them. And I don't need, like, that's the thing. Like, do I need the thing in a steelbook? No. You know what I mean? Like, it's only if it's a cool one, like the Cabin in the Woods one. That one was fucking cool. You know, the Cloverfield one was fucking cool that came out. You know, I feel like that's the only reason why I do a steelbook. But no, I don't need to go crazy. Like, I feel that. I don't.
It has to be like really detailed. Like, I just seen like on online the other day, like there's this big like anniversary edition of it. It follows. And it comes with so much detail and so much stuff inside of it. It's just like, okay, that's worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yep. Agreed. Yeah. Like, I didn't buy Scream 3 on the steelbook. I was like, that's ugly. That's plain. So I bought the 4K. It was a little bit cheaper. So no. I also only have been buying the newer Screams on steelbook. I don't know why. Hmm. We'll see what happens with 4. We'll see if we get I've heard through the grapevine actually this month that that Scream 4 is coming, it's next for the 4K release. And I heard we may get the removal of that crazy star filter, as I like to call it, that a lot of people hate. But I wouldn't be mad because some people are like, but that's what Wes wanted. I was like, yeah, but maybe he didn't. We don't know. I don't know if that's a true statement, but I don't know. I mean, if you look at the scenes at the end with the cop cars flying around, it's just like, it's like a giant star of light. It's just so obnoxious. You can't see what the hospital says. Like, it's just, this isn't the 80s. Like, it should have been clearer, you know? Yeah. So I heard we may get that on 4K without it and possibly on the same disc with it. So like, if you wanted to still, you know, and I was like, why would you want to? I just got my Blu-ray. Like, if I want the filter. I got that. But no, I also will say like the Anchor Bay Blu-ray is different than the 4-pack of Blu-rays of the Scream movies that I had, like all 1 through 4 before 5 came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I felt like the Anchor Bay version was cleaner. Mm. I know, weird. Anyway, side note. But yeah, I mean, I agree about the steelbooks. I don't need all of them. I just want the ones that are cool and are unique. Like I was mad I missed the Event Horizon one. Mm-hmm. Mad. Pissed that sold out in like 2 seconds, but I got it on 4K, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, this whole, like, I will come to a point soon where I'm like, okay, we're taking like a 5-month break and not buying anything. We're just keeping it cool. But it's, you know, I feel like that's where they get you. That's what.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing too. It's like you brought up the Halloween franchise a few times earlier and there was just more news kind of like thrown out that Miramax is shopping around the rights to Halloween. So it's like we may see another Halloween series or set up in the future. What do you guys think about that? Do you think it's too soon or are you guys?
So it depends because like as Jax, as you mentioned, like just because they're talking about it doesn't mean it's going to happen like in the next.
Exactly.
I was thinking about that one because a lot of people were, especially on Twitter, like Twitter is really like prolific for having like the opinions. Versus Instagram where it's like just a post and people saying what's thoughts. I saw a lot of people saying like too soon and I would agree if it came out within the next like 6 months, yeah, too soon. But like just because we're talking about it doesn't mean we're going to see it anytime soon, I guess.
Right,
and then like maybe that's okay. But like what did sort of excite me is they threw out two companies and A24 was one of those that's in talks of maybe being the next one to make a Halloween film. And that's sort of exciting and like interesting to think about an A24 version of Halloween.
But look, but here's my thing. An A24 Michael Myers film would look like Rob Zombie's first Halloween film to me. And then, so, you know what I mean? Like that would be
I think it would look more like Halloween Ends, but like the Halloween Ends that we always kept saying, like, I feel like they had something, but then they did like, we got to pay homage so the fans aren't mad. But like, I feel like they probably would have made something kind of cool. And like, I'm probably going to get hate for saying this because I do always say how I kind of enjoyed the first like 3/4 of Halloween ends.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they would have an interesting idea. I do see what you're saying. Like, it could also be like a Rob Zombie version that's kind of like more highlighting backstory. Like his backstory. Yeah. It'll just be interesting, I guess. It just opens up a different avenue for something different rather than just seeing like, I don't know, kind of like a formulaic version of it. Like, oh, here he is. He's out of the mental asylum and he's, you know.
Yeah. Like, I don't want that. See, I feel like I liked how in 2018, you know, we stuck to a formula, but we turned it and went left. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like, just like Scream did, we took the first story of the franchise and we just kind of went, well, let's mix the pieces around. And so I liked that the first one was kind of like the first one in the sense of like Michael escapes. He goes after Lori and, you know, he kills some kids. Like, you know, it's not the same movie. Whereas Rob Zombie's was a little more like, here, we're going to do all the same scenes. We're going to, you know, we're going to have the girls and, you know, babysitting. And I would rather a brand new everything. I don't want to know what happened when he was a kid. I don't want to know. I want out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like the Scream TV series did a really good job with not repeating a lot of bullshit, you know what I mean? And they tried to really take a fresh take on what it would be like if it wasn't that story. So like, I would envision copyrighted, I'm just kidding, I would envision that it would go like anybody could be Michael. Like, if you're gonna end Halloween like ends did, you know, with the mask just laying there in the middle of nowhere, I would have loved it if somebody grabbed it off camera. Like, that to me would have been a better ending than it just sitting there, because then the whole point of it is, you know, it just changes shape. So like, I would love to embellish on that and get away from Haddonfield almost and kind of bring it into a new world and see where we can go with that. You know, I feel like that's the rejuvenation a lot of people were disappointed in, that they didn't get as much out of the trilogy. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what I would like. I would rather it stay. I mean, like, put in some Easter eggs of Haddonfield or the other movies, abso-fucking-lutely, lines, whatever. But I would like to see it in a different way. I really think that there's more Michael Myers than Haddonfield, you know?
I think at this point they kind of have to, right?
They can't do something. You never know.
You can't do a third time around or fourth time around, I guess, at this point, and like have it be the same as the previous ones. So you kind of have to. So yeah,
I mean, or we go in between the movies and we talk about what happened between 4 and 5, or we talk about what happened between 5 and 6, or I don't know. I don't know, but I definitely don't want a requel.
Yeah.
I definitely do not want to see, I mean, I don't think any of those actors are going to come back. So that's definitely probably a done deal.
Tom Atkins.
Yeah. I seen something about maybe like a TV show. So I think that'd be cool. Something like that, because even like the idea of like the pitch of the Friday the 13th show coming, you know what I mean? I think just going back and then just focusing on the camp, you know what I mean? And then like the counselors and everything at that time. I think it's something like, that's something we need to kind of probably like kind of have, like you said, probably before Michael was born or something like that, bring it back in time and like what Haddonfield was like, you know what I mean?
Something. No, agreed.
Something, I don't know.
Agreed.
And wasn't like we always talk about how Halloween 3 was like, that was John Carpenter's idea, was that like it was going to be different stories, right? It was all going to be like something revolving around Halloween, but different stories. And then the people demanded Michael Myers come back. So, you know, they brought the character back. But like, that could be a cool premise. Like, it, you know, different Halloween stories and, you know, just, yeah, something different, but allowing the franchise to live if that's what they want to do, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if it's going to make money, I mean,
it's going to, you know, we'll talk shit about it till the end, but we'll go see it no matter what.
Yeah.
No, for sure. No, I mean, I will. But I mean, you know, and I didn't even, speaking of the Halloween, like they just came out with new steelbooks for the, what, 6 H2O and Resurrection.
Yep.
I'm not buying into those. You know what I mean? Like, I bought the 4K Scream Factory thing. So like, I don't double dip all the time. I don't. Sometimes I do. I will say, like, Fright Night, I double dipped. That Steelbook was awesome. Like, you know, so I was like, yeah. And it was 4K. So I was like, well, because I also like, I notice if a Blu-ray is a 4K scan or not. That's another thing I try to tell people. Like, if it's been scanned in 4K and a Blu-ray and you don't have a 4K player, like, yeah, buy that. You know what I mean? Like, that'll be better than the DVD that you bought 20 years ago, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of movies that have been getting some love lately, and it's been exciting. Yeah. So,
Brandon, I was going to say, you want to take us home with our last bit, which is
talking about some movies that have been getting love. You kind of brought up Troma earlier. You know, we've heard Troma a few times. The Toxic Avenger trailer has released, and the film made its world premiere at the Fantastic Fest. This film, we've been talking about it for a few years now, you know, since it was announced. We have not been sure what to expect on like how it's going to play out, because, you know, how the first one was just off the wall. And now you have like this big budget and big cast behind it. Like, you know, what is it going to look like? But from checking out this trailer, it still seems like it has that Troma style. Yeah. And it seems like it's definitely still there. What do you guys think about it?
I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah.
Definitely. The trailer captures that, definitely that old school Troma essence. And it, you know, and this kind of also goes to something that you were talking about earlier. It doesn't give too much away at all. Like it's a teaser trailer, and it's done pretty perfectly. You know, you don't even see too much of like anything actually. It's really just like alluding to like what we're going to see. I'm very excited. And you know what else is cool? The art of the, just like the title, like the picture of like Toxic Avenger, like the poster just of the title of the film is cool as hell. So they actually put like effort into things like the design of that. And I think that just says something about it. So I'm super stoked for it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for, you know, all these like lower budget movies to come back, you know what I mean? With still that mindset of we're making our movie, we're not making a studio movie. You know what I mean? We're not gonna, you know, just like the Terrifier movies, like we're gonna do whatever the fuck we want and you're gonna watch it because this is what you came for. So I'm definitely excited to check that out. It's been a long time since I've seen, I don't even know if I've seen it now that I'm thinking about it. The original Toxic. I know, obviously I've seen like scenes of it and like we all know what it is. You know what I mean? But it's been a while. I keep thinking of that scene in RoboCop. That's why I'm like, that's not the Toxic Avenger. That's just that guy that gets covered in the crap. but yeah, so I'm definitely excited. And I appreciate the trailer for not spoiling everything and not making me feel like I already know what I'm going to go see. So yeah, just bring it. Can't wait.
It was funny. I had seen like a few comments, like, you know, which you just sitting there bringing up Marvel a few times earlier too. It's like, how many parents are going to bring their kids to see this and think it's like an Avenger movie, you know?
Oh my God.
So
speaking of that, when we saw Smile, there was a 4-year-old in the seat next to us. And granted, like he was on his iPad or whatever, but I'm like, this, because I guess there was a kids movie at that time that was called Smile or something. Or they just brought their 4-year-old to the movie. I don't know. Whatever. But that was a bit much. I mean, hey, kid was fine. He wasn't screaming.
Own, I guess.
He wasn't screaming. Yeah. So, I, you know, not traumatized. So, hey, not my kid.
Not my problem.
Right. Exactly. Well,
Smile 2 was also announced. So that's going to be released in 2. So,
I was very shocked at how much I liked that. So I am. Yeah. Absolutely excited. I also did not watch the trailer for that, so I'm glad I didn't know anything. So I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. I feel like there's I'm trying to think of something else that's been said that's coming that I'm like, I don't really care, but there's a lot of good stuff, you know what I mean?
We're being so spoiled in the next like
3 or 4 months.
Like they announced the John Carpenter, what is it, a show?
Oh,
That's going to be on releasing on Friday the 13th, I think.
There's... Shoot, yeah. What the heck was that? But you're right. He's got something. Shoot, why is my mind just like
there's blank? There's a ton of stuff coming out next month. So we'll cover all that obviously next month. But yeah, it's September was a great month. We got you know,
it wasn't bad.
We had fall finally begin. Everybody's kind. I like this year. I really felt like September was awesome. Like it really like the anticipation of fall leading up to it, and then when you know, things came out a little early as far as like Halloween stuff. But you know what? That's fine. It just made the excitement of you know, October even that much more powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna give a little shout out to Mountain Dew for dropping the the Voodoo.
Ooh.
Hey, Mountain Dew Voodoo, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, we'd appreciate that. Brandon, I brought a siege of Mountain Dew to TerraCon, and because I wanted Brandon to try it and give me his formal opinion of what he felt like that flavor might be this year. And you said Skittles, right, Brandon?
Yeah, I think like a grape Skittle or something like that.
Yeah, so I definitely got some Skittle vibes in there too. So I'm going to go with that, and we'll see when they release that flavor. And I tried that new Fanta, Brandon, that you were talking about, the Halloween one. I have no freaking clue. I have no idea what that is.
Oh,
you gotta try
Also could be Skittles or something else. I don't know. It tastes like some kind of candy.
That's hilarious.
So, but here's the thing. So, there's going to be two of them because there's a like zero and there's a regular
the zero
right?
one. So, I tried the zero one.
They taste different, right?
I don't know. I got to try the other one. They only had the zero one and I normally wouldn't go for that. But,
zero soda.
That's see, and I'm a sucker for stuff like this, like exclusive stuff to like a season.
I'm about to go buy some spooky nuggets, guys. Like, don't
spooky
even.
Spooky nuggets?
Yeah, Tyson. Tyson has some spooky nuggets, like that pumpkin and ghost shape. So I'm going to buy some for this weekend. I'm excited. I'm like a big kid. Yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's just released that they're dropping the buckets again. Yes. I think it's like October 17th or
18th.
Yep. Wow.
Maybe I'll pick those up. There's four this year. I think there was three last year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's like a purple one.
Purple bucket. It's like a vampire.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tons of cool stuff. I love this time of the year. I love when, you know, they do these exclusive things. It's just super fun.
Yes. So. Did you guys
collect them all last year? Did you get them all three?
Yeah.
I know. I didn't get any.
You didn't get any?
No. Only because, like, I don't, it's not that I don't like McDonald's, because I do. I felt like, I was like, am I taking away from it?
No.
I was thinking
not at all.
No.
You're saving a child if you think about it, because they eat too much fast food anyway.
So. There we go. I'm preserving our youth.
I don't even eat McDonald's, and I did just for those damn buckets.
Oh, shit.
I was getting a little cheeseburger meals.
I'm a McDonald's breakfast person. So, like, I'll do breakfast whenever, but, like,
can
I don't...
Can you throw a McBiscuit in that bucket for me?
Can you put me an Egg McMuffin meal in a bucket, please? I'll do that for me. I'll get a bucket.
Check
put
it
my
out.
Breakfast in there, please. I should ask.
Well... Yeah, so I guess that wraps us up for the month of September. Like I said, it was a very exciting month. And Jax, please tell everybody where to find you. And just thank you so much for coming on here and being an awesome guest. I think when people listen to this, they're going to be like, all right, I see how she can do her podcast alone. You have no problem carrying conversation. And I love that. No, honestly, you may, like, when we saw you at TerraCon, I was like, you just have that perfect. You literally go up to anybody and talk to them, and I do, like, I envy people like that, because Brandon and I are not those people.
That's so crazy to me. You just hold those movie events.
We put ourselves out there.
Oh,
I love it.
It took a lot of time. It took a few years to do it. Like, well, even
when it's funny because you guys inspired me. So I feel like it's so crazy to hear you say that about me. But I appreciate everything, and I appreciate you inviting me. I feel like this was a long time coming also. So
you guys
have had some amazing guests. So go carve your way with that.
Yeah. You are now one of them.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
But yes,
you're on the Hall of Fame.
But you can find me on Instagram at Here for the Booze with underscores in between the words. And you can find me on my podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitch, all the little things. I'm pretty much on all the big ones. I think I'm also on iHeartRadio. So don't hesitate to follow.
Booze, B-O-O-S, just so there's no confusion.
Correct, yes.
I'll be honest with you. I think the very first time I looked... I think the very first time I looked you up, I actually spelt like booze, like alcohol.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't find her. Oh, that's weird.
That's so funny. I always try to tell people I have my little logo as my, so it's me with a glass of wine, yes. You know, perched against a ghost. So look for that. It's also under Jax. Cause I think there is another Here for the Booze, but they don't have any episodes and they've been dormant since I started. So if you see another one, that's not me. But yeah, I'm only on Instagram. I don't have a video channel or anything. So come find me.
Okay. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy. We hope you enjoyed September. And hopefully you are already starting your October off the right way. So we'll see you next month for our next recap of October. And obviously that one's going to be action-packed as well. We'll see you then. Everybody have a great night.
Take it easy.
Game over.